On this special episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we take a moment to examine the phrase, God is good all the time, and further reflect on why we do what we do at the Great Commission Transmission Network. All that and more in 3, 2, 1. In. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 28. I'm Michael.
And I'm a brain.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Hey, Luigi!
Luigi! Hey, Luigi! I am a Brandon.
Okay, so you're still determined to bust out of your... You don't want to be a character actor, so is that what you're saying? Or you do?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
I do, and I'm looking for a... For different voices to try out.
Okay, so
next week, hey, it may be Yiddish. Who knows?
Please.
If I were a rich man.
Oh, you said next week. We'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later on in the show. What is going on with Daddy's Dead and Who's Got the Meatloaf?
No, that's nowhere near what the play is
what
called.
What is it?
It's called Daddy's Dying. Who's Got the Will?
And last weekend was opening.
And this weekend is closing.
So you did a show Friday night.
And then Saturday night. And then this week we've got, we had dress, last night was just a table read rehearsal. Make sure everyone had their lines. Tonight will be a full-on dress rehearsal. And then Friday night at 7, Saturday at 7, and at Sunday at 2 o'clock. Will be the last three performances.
All at the Fly.
All at the Fly building. Get your tickets now. Call 931-684-8359 for anyone in the area. Or if you're not in the area and you want to come to the area, we'll take that too.
Yeah. And my understanding is it's designed for audiences ages 16 and up.
Yes. Yeah, 16 and up. If you know what PG-13 movies are like nowadays, that's what the play's like.
So you have turkey bacon on stage?
I do. Real turkey bacon. We actually use real food in the play.
Does it get consumed?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Occasionally I'll bring a plate backstage because I'm the guy that clears the stage of all the props. And thankfully...
In the dark. Wow.
But thankfully the cast helps me out because if it's a big table full of food... They'll grab what's in front of them and take that back, and I'll get other stuff while they're going.
Okay, let me put you on the spot.
Okay.
In your career,
yeah,
the biggest or the most hilarious mishap?
Oh.
Do you have one, or has everything been smooth sailing? If that's the answer, you can go ahead and say everything's been great.
Now, okay, mishap. Okay. Now this isn't a... This isn't a scene change in the dark. No, actually, no. The biggest mishap I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
Let me do the biggest one I've ever seen.
Okay.
This was on stage with the lights on, with everyone watching. This is what happens. The play is called Barnum. It's like a musical of P.T. Barnum and how he got started. It was a really cool show. However, the production team did not. They did not use common sense when lowering a bench from the rafters.
Uh-huh.
They lowered it and hit somebody in the head.
Oh,
with this bench!
Wow.
This was at a collegiate theater festival. The Kennedy Center. It was being hosted in Albany, Georgia.
Nice.
This was 2013, so last year, really.
Did the actor miss a beat?
No.
Awesome.
No. But he just went,
Wow.
It just kept going right on.
Hey, well, that's what you do. Hey, we do the same thing on the podcast here as well.
Yeah, especially when we use different voices in the intro.
You roll with the punches and you go for it. Hey, did I mention ever that on the show that I had been watching the series The 4400 on Netflix? I love Netflix. This was a series that came out in, I believe, it started in 2004. Well, I didn't have TV in 2004. I turned off the TV in like 1990, and so I have no idea what is ever on when it actually is on. So I went back and I watched this whole series, and this is about people that are abducted at various times all around the Seattle, Washington area. Mm-hmm. Right, at the very least, the Pacific Northwest. So some people abducted back in the 1930s and 40s, all the way up till modern times, and then they all appeared in a great ball of light at this lake all at the same time, and they had no recollection of what had taken place, and no time had even a little girl that was abducted back in the 40s or something was the same. It's like,
whoa.
And that's weird. They come back, and many of them have certain abilities and powers. So if anybody hasn't watched The 4400, great story writing. Brendan, if we were to do a Finding Christ in television, we would be covering this series because some serious messianic. Well, I mean, they come right out and say one guy's a messianic figure. I mean, they say that over and over again.
Whoa, okay.
And misunderstanding and intrigue and all this stuff. It's really great. The only problem is I got to the very final episode. I didn't realize, because I didn't look on my queue, oh, this is the last episode. And so when it ended, I was ready to go to the next episode. Oh, and lo, there was none.
Now,
and there was great weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Ganesh.
Yeah, Ganesh.
Now, okay, so when you got to the last episode, were you not satisfied enough? And but you...
No!
You weren't?
No. Oh, I mean, man. I was satisfied in the respect of saying that was a... Once I got over the shock, I didn't say, oh, I felt gypped. I feel gypped. I mean, it left off to where you can let your imagination run wild. And my imagination really, me. Mine gets away from me. And then reflecting on it, going, what an awesome series. Well, I needed to watch something else, and I had heard about a TV show, a little over a year ago or so?
It actually started last fall.
Okay.
Because I watched the first few episodes.
Well, and I saw the promo for it, probably posted on Facebook or something, and watched it because it stars James Spader, and I've always had a liking to James Spader.
Me too.
Okay,
you know he got his start on Seinfeld.
He did not.
He did
not. No, he didn't. You're crazy. So anyway, we are talking, of course, about The Blacklist.
The Blacklist. Yes.
Wow, the premise is amazing, but above all else, I cannot take my eyes off of James Spader in this series. He is, I'm just going to call it, I believe that he is one of the, if not the top five finest actors on the face of the earth right now. Phenomenal.
That's a bold statement.
That is a bold statement. But you know what? There are plenty of actors that have that job that are...
Well, there are plenty of people...
With the title.
Who are paid...
To appear and recite lines.
And recite lines. Plenty of people can do that.
There are few actors.
Yeah.
And James Spader is an actor. Man, his timing is impeccable. Everything about him is a pleasure to watch. So I recommend, if you guys haven't seen it, now I guess they're advertising again the season premiere, and I don't know if they're on season three now, or is it?
No, season two.
Oh, it's season two. It's season two. First season had a bunch of episodes.
Yeah. Well, I think it spanned the whole winter, the whole fall/winter, and then it cut off in spring.
Well,
so yeah.
If you have not watched it, at the very least, watch the pilot. You will be sucked in right at the beginning when he walks into that FBI office at the very beginning of the show. So there you go. That's what I've been up to. More play.
action from you.
Hey, yes, more play action.
Yep, play action.
I've started football now.
You need a little action figure. We need a Brendan action figure. Hey, with those 3D printing machines, I've seen some people are going to this place. I don't know where it is, in San Francisco or whatever, walking into the shop and standing here, and they spin this thing around him, and boom, they print out a little figure of him. Little figure.
Then it will be that with me holding up the skull.
Or a pizza saying, Luigi. The skull. Okay. Sorry.
Thanks, Michael, for ruining my moment. So I'm submitting a 10-minute play to the Nashville. I need Mulligan.
Mulligan already?
I'm submitting a 10-minute play to the National 10-Minute Play Festival, hosted by the Actors Theater of Louisville, Kentucky.
Hey, neat!
And first place prize is $1,000.
Whoa!
Not saying I'm going to get $1,000.
Hey!
Probably not.
Just go for it.
I'm just going for it.
Okay.
Because this is a continual thing that hopefully every year I'll be able to send in something.
Nice. How did you get hooked up with that?
Through MTSU. Because as part of our, there was a class in the theater department for all graduating seniors called Senior Seminar. And in it, we explored options, you know, what do you do after you graduate?
Yeah.
Because you're not in our hands anymore.
Yeah.
And I actually looked up the Actors Theater in Louisville because one, it's close.
Right.
It's fairly close.
Just north yonder.
Yeah, just across, maybe across the Mason-Dixon line. But I don't really care about that. But they also accept new plays all the time.
Okay.
And they encourage workshops, and they encourage this community of playwrights that I kind of want to start tapping into.
Yes, yeah.
Along with everything else that I'm tapping into.
Much like the church, Brendan, you need community.
Yes. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
A little edification, a little lifting one another up.
A little stirring each other.
Yeah.
There's that.
Okay. Did you go to the movies?
No, couldn't make it to the movies this week. However, that did not stop, at least this week, it did not stop a Monday movie review. This week, it's on a little independent film called Frank.
It is Frank?
Now, to be frank, Michael, if I could be
let
frank.
Let the puns just...
You can still be Michael. But let me be frank.
Go ahead.
Quite frankly, it's a good movie.
What is this about, besides a big head?
Okay. Well, you know who the big head is, right?
No. Frank. John. Frank.
The actor.
No.
Okay.
Hold I couldn't
let,
tell.
Let me,
I couldn't.
Let me address my death catcher first.
Okay, he's doing the death catcher because he has to be prepared to. This is going to be big, friends.
This is Michael Fassbender.
Chewbacca? No, that's
no.
Not.
No, what?
What does this have to do with Star Wars?
Nothing. What? No, it's Peter Mayhew.
Oh yes, you're right.
You should know that.
I do.
No, Michael Fassbender is Magneto.
Oh, I didn't see
the new Magneto. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, he's done a lot of other stuff too.
I told you on several episodes ago, I am an X-Men fan. I just don't watch the movies. But hey, I did come across boxes and boxes of comic books the other day. More about that later on in the show. Stay tuned. That's a good tease.
Anyway, okay. So Michael Fassbender plays this guy named Frank. He is a band leader of this really weird experimental band.
Avant-garde?
You could say that, yes, avant-garde.
With a head
because,
like that.
Because there is a theremin.
Oh, nice.
And
hey.
You know what a theremin is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Space, sci-fi, and sci-fi. John Spencer Blues Explosion employs a theremin.
Well, there you go.
Yes. I've recorded a theremin in the recording studio, and that was fun. It was a homemade theremin.
That's weird.
I am a recording engineer by trade. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So I've recorded all kinds of fun stuff.
So Frank is about, it's not really about the band or this big guy, this big head, paper mache head. By the way, he chooses to wear the paper mache head.
Does he ever choose to take it off?
You're going to have to watch the movie and find out. What are you getting from me, Michael?
Well, I read your Monday movie review and I was stumped.
That's not.
Okay, so the guy's in a band. He puts on this head. It doesn't come off and the girl doesn't like him.
No. The movie is not about Frank.
Oh.
The story is about John. Now, John is an up-and-coming songwriter. He's down on his luck, but he gets his breakthrough when this weird band asks him to join on the pretense that he can only play three chords. He can do a lot of other things, but they just ask him, hey, can you play C, F, and G? And he's like, why, of course I can. I'm perfect for the job. They're like, good, show up tonight. Here, be here. He shows up. He's not the only one late because they're still waiting for the band leader, and this is where Frank makes his entrance. And then Frank likes him so much after the gig that they kind of sort of con and trick John into coming to Ireland for a retreat.
Okay.
How long will they stay there? Until the new album is recorded.
Okay.
Whereas John thought it was just a weekend thing. Ah. So John, he's so attracted to this idea because he wants it to happen. He wants it to be a success that he says, yeah, okay, I will quit my job. I will live here with you guys for however long this takes.
You and your big papier-mâché head.
You and your big papier-mâché head. And whereas Frank actually likes John, like as a friend, as a comrade, you know, the other band members not so much. And that's where the drama actually starts coming in.
Okay.
So check out Frank. Check out the Monday movie review.
Yes, go to Finding Christ in Cinema at fcc.gctnetwork.com or simply Christ in Cinema and read the Monday movie review. Read them all.
Yeah.
They're small.
They're all right.
Anything else?
Nope. I think it's time for
some real news. Roll it!
From NBC, Christopher Walken as Captain Hook.
Oh, gosh. We've talked about this in the past. Is it finally coming to fruition?
Yes, it is. And by fruition, we mean there has been an official set photo released. Last time we mentioned Peter Pan Live. Let's say Peter Hook. Peter Pan Live, we talked about Allison Williams, daughter of reporter Brian Williams.
Yes.
Of news anchor, really.
Legend.
Yeah, legend. And he's a pretty good rapper, so I've heard. She will be playing Peter Pan, and Christopher Walken, yes, Mr. Pocket Watch himself, will be will be playing Captain Hook. And looking at this photo, he looks really cool.
He doesn't look like Christopher Walken.
No, he doesn't. I didn't even recognize
him. And he's surely not walking in a winter wonderland.
Nope. He sure is not. I want to say I've heard that. Is that another Dr.
That's
Demento?
A meme. No, it's a meme.
No, but there's a song. Somebody actually wrote a song.
Oh.
And based it on Christopher Walken.
No. And now they have the whole Christopher Walken commas. You know, talk like Christopher Walken.
You know. I've been working as Captain Hook.
Now, I'm sure the last time that we talked about Christopher Walken, we mentioned that he was on the boat the night that Natalie Wood drowned.
Oh, what? No.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
He's a bad man. No, I don't know.
What?
He knows something.
So, yeah. So, anyway, NBC, they're gearing up for Peter Pan Live.
All right. Cover your ears if you don't want to know about exclusive images from Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. With just over a month to go, Brendan, Empire has been through a wormhole and back to retrieve some exclusive images from the new space epic. And you don't want to be looking if you want to maintain the mystery of Interstellar all the way up to and including the curtain parting at your local cinema. This film harbors grand ambitions, says lead, Matthew McConaughey. Quote, this is the grandest adventure I think any of us will ever see on film. This is the biggest film I've ever been part of. This is one of the biggest films anyone has ever been part of. You know, you talk about a bold statement. Hey, but Anne Hathaway agrees.
Yeah.
She says, I am so excited for the world to receive this film because there's going to be a new conversation, I believe, because of it, unquote. She's also quick to put to rest any fears of Nolan's intellect getting in the way of emotions. So she goes on, quote, it's not a dry science-based film. It has a pulse. It's got blood in its veins. Are you interested?
Yes.
You posted something on the Finding Christ in Cinema Facebook page the other day already calling this Nolan's greatest film?
His best film, yeah. That is a bold statement, and that's where that came from, actually.
How in the world do they even, how do they get away with saying
that? Have they even seen The Dark Knight?
Or Inception. For me, it's Inception.
Okay.
So, anyway, you're interested, Interstellar releases November 7th, 2016. No, wait, I'm sorry, that one we get this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, we get this one this year. Wait, don't fool people, Michael. What are you doing? From Deadline.com, a new Kurt Russell Western picks up Patrick Wilson and Matthew Fox.
All right. Oh.
This movie is called Bone Tomahawk. That sounds pretty gritty, let me tell you. The period Western tale is about four men who attempt to rescue a group of captives from a band of cannibals.
Ooh.
And the cast has now grown with Patrick Wilson, most recently from Insidious and The Conjuring, and Matthew Fox from, of course,
Lost, the greatest TV show of all time, next to Star Trek original series and The Twilight Zone and a few others. He got his start in Seinfeld, of course.
I don't know if he ever has or not. Now, to quote Jen Yamato of Deadline.com, Wilson will play Arthur O'Dwyer, a thoughtful cowboy whose rise to the foreman position of a cattle outfit is interrupted by an unfortunate accident that reshapes his life in unforeseen ways. Fox has the role of John Bruder, an eloquent gentleman whose dark inclinations have put him and his polished weapons at the very edge of the Western frontier.
Oh, I want to know more!
Well, more on this story as it develops, Michael.
Oh, this sounds good.
It does sound good. It's kind of sounding like, it's almost sounding like, you know, Kurt Russell, he's going to be the main protagonist. Patrick Wilson will be on his team, but it's sounding like Matthew Fox is going to be one of those cannibals.
Yeah. Oh.
Because what is it? It says, an eloquent gentleman whose dark inclinations have put him and his polished weapons. What is the bone tomahawk? It is a polished weapon.
Huh. Oh.
At the very edge of the Western frontier.
Are you surmising all this yourself, or have you?
No, this is the first time I've ever heard
anything. Because I was thinking a Doc Holliday kind of a character.
Oh, well, you know, that could also very be possible. Huh. Oh, yes.
I don't know.
Oh, that reminds me.
Don't bang on the desk. We got microphones everywhere.
Sorry. That reminds me. We need to get back to Tombstone.
Once we can find something. Oh, goodness. Here we go. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little. Cheek, cheek, cheek. Talk a lot. Pick a little more. From the rumor mill, firstshowing.net, Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock together again? Oh, baby. You know what? This is second only to...
La, 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 la.
Cannon. Yes. Hey, I have to sneak that in there.
1812 overture with the cannon in the background.
Yes. I opted out of Star Wars news today because my second favorite sci-fi series, all the way back in J.J. Abrams' first reboot of the second sci-fi series that matters, Star Trek, there was a plan for William Shatner to have a cameo. However, it was more for fun and less substantial part than the more pivotal role that Leonard Nimoy's Spock played in the story. Now it's being reported, Brendan, that there is a scene in the forthcoming Star Trek III that brings Kirk and Spock together again for the first time since 1991's Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. To quote Ethan Anderton at firstshowing.net, quote, "That's a pretty big deal. And since we know that wormholes with time travel has been what made the reboot possible, it's not hard to see how this could happen," unquote. No word on whether William Shatner will take the part or whether the rumored scene in question will survive rewrites. I guarantee you that it will. They have to have William Shatner in one of these episodes. And to bring those two together, brilliance. I didn't see part two, the second with Khan or you know whatever.
Well, you know who plays Khan?
Yes, Smaug.
FCC favorite.
Yes, Smaug.
Yep.
But anyway.
Or Sherlock, for those inclined.
There you go. Or the rest of my family. but the first Star Trek movie is one of my favorite movies. I didn't want to like it because we all know, Brendan, all good-hearted people know that there is only one crew of the SS Enterprise, and that includes
Picard.
Kirk, Mr. Spock,
Picard.
Scotty,
Picard.
Bones.
Picard.
Come on! Wrong all around! Captain Kirk and crew!
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm just a troll. I know Michael likes Kirk, and I'm just throwing out the name Picard just to get a rise out of.
But that first one was...
His first name is Jean, isn't it? Jean-Luc Picard.
Jean-Luc.
It's hyphenated, right?
And you know what?
That makes him a better captain, I think.
I could talk about Star Trek The Next Generation. I did start watching it recently thanks to the magic of Netflix once again. They are not a sponsor. Maybe they should be. But anyhow.
Yes.
And it's fine. It's fine. I did the guy that convinced me to watch it. Hey, it's on Netflix. You just sit down and watch it. After when I was in season two, and I sent him a message and say, you know, I mean, yeah, it's okay, but it's not. No, you got to wait till like season four. What? You got to wait till season four for this to pick up? He's no Captain Kirk. But anyway, there you go. Any other news, Brendan?
Not for me.
And we have no movie to go to, but what we do.
Well, now wait a minute. Hold on.
What?
I thought we were going to a little Castaway.
Because, no.
Because we did mention that in the last episode.
We did. Let's talk more about that right after this.
Okay.
Well, if you need it, God got it. God got everything that you need. Oh, if you need it, God got it. God got everything that you need. If you need it, God got it.
Reverend Charlie Jackson right there. Brendan, that's the kind of music that I listen to, son. And I'm going to do my best to turn you on to
okay.
The full tabernacle sounds of Reverend Charlie Jackson. God's got it. You know, God does have it. God's got everything you need. The question is, Brendan, we know that God is good, right?
All the time.
That's the question. All the time. God is good all the time. What do we mean by that? A little preface here. We were supposed to discuss Castaway today. We mentioned last episode that the studio here at GCT Network headquarters is moving. And so with all the rigmarole, there wasn't time for me to be able to watch the film and clip sound clips and produce the type of show that listeners have come to expect.
The high fidelity.
Yes, there you go. The full audio fidelity and full experience that listeners have come to expect. And so, you know, I messaged Brendan and said, hey, we're not going to be able to do a show. And then I said, oh, I was afraid that was going to happen. I said, well, wait a second. We have to let the listeners know because we may be off air for a couple of weeks or so.
Right.
Not exactly sure when the next episode is going to be. And so we opted to get together and present some news and then have a little discussion here. The reason why the studio is missing, I'm just going to throw it out there. I've been working hard on the, we all have, but working hard on the Great Commission Transmission Network for over a year now. And it is hard. It's hard going when you are an online ministry. Really, any kind of a ministry is hard to get going, especially when you don't have outside help, when you're trying to do it all yourself and you're relying on what you have to work with. Well,
it's very taxing.
Yes, yeah. It is. And I didn't have much to work with to begin with. All I had really is the skill to actually do it. I have the ability to do what we do. And so I went with it and put my trust in God. And the whole time, you know, praying and hey, you know what, is this, the whole goal is that God is glorified in the things that are done at the Great Commission Transmission Network. It's not for our glory, it's for God's glory. And if it is not for God's glory, then we have no business doing what we're doing while saying that it's for His glory. That would be dishonest and whatnot. So praying, hey, you know, God, we're having a hard time here, and what should I do? Do we need to pull the plug on this? Is this not in your plans? And then every time, turn around and something would happen that would show my wife and I, no, this is a necessary ministry. It's a valid ministry. It's necessary. Well, cut long story short, we lost our house, and so we have no choice but to move. And even in God's good all the time, yeah, it's easy to say that God is good all the time when things are good going in life. How easy is it to say that God is good all the time when things are crumbling around you? Well, Brendan, I'm gonna put forth that oftentimes you'll find it's easy to do then as well, because if you keep your eyes open and you see the answers to prayer and you see the blessings that God provides, and even, let me tell you a quick little story, and this is as personal, I think, as I'll get here, but this blows my mind, and I think it'll blow everybody else's mind as well. This house was sold on auction, so it was taken from us and sold. And it is owned by a person that came, Brendan, to see the house and tell us that we have X amount of days to pack up and get out. And I was talking to him and showing him around. And I didn't say, hey, cut me some slack, I'm a Christian, you know, or anything like that. What I did say was to assuage his fears, because a lot of times when a house is foreclosed on, the tenants will destroy the place. They'll destroy it. And I said to him, you know what, we believe in a God that if we were to do something like that, it doesn't reflect bad on us, it reflects bad on the God that we worship. That's all I said. His response was, after a long pause and looking me in the eye, was, I'm a Christian too. I didn't say, hey, you know, in the name of Jesus, bless, you know, and things like that. No, I just told him where we were coming from. And it changed from, you guys have 2 weeks to get out of the house, to now it's been a month. because after talking with him and walking around and him saying, you know, this isn't a house, this is a home, and you guys get what you need to get handled, and I'll work with you. And this guy, God bless him. You know, I thank God for him every day because he is walking his faith. You know, he believes that he is responsible by any means necessary to help those that need help. And that's how he's helping us. And so for the rest of my life, if anybody asks me about this gentleman, I'll say, you know, this guy is the real deal, and he's got a good heart, and he wants to honor God. And that is a blessing. And to deny that that's a blessing from God, that would be missing the mark.
Yeah.
That would be sin, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So, real quick, we are moving. You know, we don't have the P.O. box. I canceled that because we're moving to another town that's a good 40 miles away or so. So we'll be reestablishing that. God is providing a place for us to go to. He's taking care of basic needs, just as a good God would.
Yeah,
we're blessed, and we have to count our blessings. But I was talking to a guy the other day, Brendan, and you know, kind of lamenting, you know, the position that we're in, and he said, "Well, you know what? I'm a big believer, and you know, when the Bible says that you don't have because you don't ask." Oh, let's talk about that for a minute. Let's go over to the book of James, chapter 4.
I am turning right now at BibleGateway.com.
As I take a drink of water here. Mm-hmm.
Wait, James what?
Chapter 4. And the specific verse that he's talking about is verse 2, at the end of verse 2. Let's just read chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. In fact, Brendan, what version are you reading out of?
I'm in the English Standard.
Ooh, read it out of the English
Standard. Okay, just 2 and 3?
Yes.
You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions.
Yeah. Big point there. So it's not just that maxim that we like to draw out of there. We like to say you do not have because you do not ask. Well, then that's telling me that all I need to do is ask God for for money and my bills to be paid for and those things. Well, no, because James is going to explain that even when you do ask, you don't receive because you're asking for the wrong reasons, as the New Living Translation says, because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And so it's very well within God's being, his personality, his mode, his modus operandi, to say, you're asking for things for the wrong reasons, and you're not going to get that. But he does give us what we need. You know, we listened to Reverend Charlie Jackson and great spiritual, African American spiritual songs, and I mean, he says it right in there. Do you need money? God's got it. Yes, he does have it. You know, the Old Testament says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Everything is God's. But if you take that, let's just not talk about money, what Reverend Charlie Jackson was singing about. Let's just talk about the things that you need. Let's not put a name on it. God has it. You want it? You want it? God has it. However, James, let's back up a little bit in James. Let's go up to chapter 13 and, verse 13.
Whoa!
Verse 13 of chapter 3.
Which James are you reading?
And get a better running start at this passage that we just talked about. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. I'm going to read through it pretty quickly here. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Oh, boy, that's a heavy-duty warning. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic.
Demonic, yeah.
For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind.
And every vile practice, as my translation says.
But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Boy, I have a lot to learn from this passage, Brendan. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. In context, Brendan, is James even saying, hey, you don't have the money that you want, the treasures that you want, because you're not asking? Or is he talking about something much bigger in context here in James? He's talked about earlier in the book, pure and undefiled religion and what that is. Mm-hmm. We did a video on that here at the Great Commission Transmission Network.
A really cool video.
You know, showing, and that was the part of the Follow Me series. You can go to gctnetwork.com and click under videos up there at the top and find the Follow Me series. And you know, what James really is saying about that pure and undefiled religion and what that looks like. Then he goes on talking about, you know, personal relationships as he continues here, but talking about the tongue. Hey, you know what? The tongue, it's a fire.
Yeah.
And so God is wanting to bless us, but he's wanting to bless us for his glory. His glory, he needs to be glorified in everything. And so when you go and you quote people, you know, that, hey, you have not because you ask not, be very mindful of what you mean by that.
Of course, you want to be mindful whenever you quote scripture at any time.
Don't do it flippantly,
in any context. Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it flippantly. Don't do it, especially don't do it just to make yourself look good.
And we were talking about this before the show. I think that would fall under the definition of a platitude.
Yes, platitude. What does that mean, Michael?
It's a trite saying. It's nothing. Trite. Just junk. It's throwaway. No thought went into it. No emotion, no meaning, nothing. We have to remember that when we are going through... You know what? This is actually turning into a Theonauts episode.
It kind of is.
Let's bounce over to Job real quick, because I want to bring out one point from Job. You have to remember that when you are going through trials, and the trials that I'm going through, Brendan, Job, come on. He lost more than a house. He lost everything. God is blessing my family. You know, granted, I'm in the flesh, so I would like to be blessed a little bit more. But,
yeah.
So, in chapter 13 of Job, verse 15, we're all very familiar with this. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. What does that mean? God is good all the time. His trust and his faith is in Job. We know what, is it chapter 19 where he says, I know that in my flesh my eyes will see him in his glory? Job had a lot of faith, and that's what we can learn from this book. But he continues on after saying, I'll hope in him. Nevertheless, I'll still argue my cause before him. Mm-hmm. I'll plead my case. But Brendan, what did you point out that after he says that?
Well, it picks up right in verse 16. This will be my salvation.
Yeah.
That godless men shall not come before him.
Yep. In the New American Standard Bible, for a godless man may not come before his presence. Because I am not godless, because I am in relationship with God, Job is saying, it's because of that I will trust in him, and he'll still listen to me when I plead and argue.
Yeah.
God is big enough to accept that.
And we can We can argue what your translation says, plead the case. We can plead our case. Mine says we can argue our ways to his face.
Yes.
And he'll even let us get our own, he'll let our flesh come out, as I've heard it said. He'll let us get angry at him. He will let us scream and kick and punch and fight. He will take that all, because that's what he does.
Yeah.
That's who he is. That's his nature.
Yes.
And that is our salvation, is because even though we are kicking and screaming and punching and shouting and getting mad at God and getting frustrated, we still believe in him and we know that he can help.
Yeah.
And isn't really all that kicking and screaming and fussing just a cry for help?
Yes. Yes. And sometimes we don't know what to cry out for. There are times when you drop on your knees to God and don't know what to say. And I have been in that position plenty here recently. And what has given me comfort is Psalm 107, because that is a psalm that you can pray through, read it, agree with it, pray through it, and then your soul, your spirit can groan out to God. Just a few choice passages. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, which is what we're talking about. For his loving kindness is everlasting. You know what? I'm going to switch over, Brendan. I'm going to pull it up on the electronic Bible here and read it out of the New Living Translation, because that is the way that it is worded in, you know, more modern English is so powerful to me. Let's do that again. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Isn't that a beautiful way of rendering that? Are you still reading on the ESV?
I am, yeah.
Is it loving kindness and...
His steadfast love.
Steadfast love. I just love, speaking of love, his faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out! We've challenged listeners since day one. Speak out. Tell others he has redeemed you from your enemies, for he has gathered the exiles from many lands, from east and from west and north and south. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless, hungry and thirsty. They nearly died. Lord, help! They cried in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress. He led them straight to safety, to a city where they could live. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. And he continues on and gives another scenario. For he has satisfied the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom, imprisoned in iron chains of misery. They rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That is why he broke them with hard labor. They fell, and no one was there to help them. Lord, help! They cried out in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom. He snapped their chains. Let them praise the Lord for his great love and for the wonderful things he has done for them. That's what this whole psalm is, over and over, giving a scenario.
Yeah.
And when they cry out, Lord, help, he does. Because God is good all the time. And in bad situations, got to be able to say that God is good all the time and look for the blessings. And I've seen so many different blessings. But I need to ask all the listeners out there to please keep my family in your prayers. Prayers work. And I know when people are praying, we can feel it. So keep us in your prayers. And you know, we'll be back here in hopefully in the next week or two, back on air with the we'll get around to doing Castaway, Brendan. But this is a special episode.
Yeah, it is divisible by seven.
Yes, it is.
This group of seven is called a heptad.
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 Okay.
Yes.
And so, let's take some time here and to just recap some of our core beliefs and whatnot. I told you, Brendan, that I came to a conclusion that I hadn't seen. And the saying is, you can't see the forest through the trees, or is it the opposite? You can't see the trees through the forest.
You can't see the forest for the trees.
For the trees. In other words, you are so overwhelmed with all the trees that you don't even notice that it's a forest staring you in the face. And so the Great Commission Transmission Network, I have always wanted to believe that we are a ministry in that we are going out to seek and save the lost and bring the light of Jesus to them. But we're not. We're not. We, and it just happened to be this way, and I have to believe that it's by the providence of God, we are a ministry that is ministering to the missionaries. So we're missionaries by default, by proxy,
okay. I think.
But all of the shows that we did, well, were you going to say something?
Well, you before the show, you said a certain word, which I think really, now that you mention it, I think it really applies to what we're doing. We are equipping.
Yes.
We are armoring.
Yep.
Armoring. We're preparing.
I like all those. Yeah. We need to incorporate those into something. Let's incorporate it into something.
Well, they're in this episode right now.
They are, so we
can at the 50 minute mark.
There you go.
Shortest episode ever.
We've already passed that.
Oh yeah.
And so we are speaking really to a very, very niche audience.
Yeah.
Any of the shows that we produce, and this includes the Theonauts podcast, because we, even though we try, well, Brendan and I, at least me, because of my wife, trying to steer away from church words, okay? But because I've been under the false assumption this whole time that we are seeking and saving the lost. But no, again, we are doing that by proxy, by equipping, armoring,
and preparing
Christians. But they're specific Christians. They are the kind of Christians that James was just talking about, Brendan. The kind where, James says, well, we already know, show me your faith by without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. It only makes sense that if you are saved, if you believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he is the great physician, that you are going to go out and you are going to tell others with all due diligence and gentleness and respect. Okay, but those are the people that we are addressing, the Ron of the Red Oaks, the
Theonauts.
The Theonauts are addressing all of those listeners as well. It's the people that have a heart for God, that want to know God's will for their lives, and the ones that want to go out and bring others into the kingdom. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a comment that we got from Ron, patron saint Ron of the Red Oaks, a little bit later on. But Brandon, can you tack on anything to those thoughts? Do you agree with that?
With which part?
Coming to understand that what we're doing isn't really geared towards non-believers?
Well, you know, in retrospect, I would have to say no, not really.
Yeah.
Because,
me neither.
Because, like, you know, what do we say? We want to provide the witnessing tools. Well, a witnessing tool is not going to do anything to someone who hasn't heard.
Right.
Who hasn't received it and who hasn't then internalized it and then externalized it. Those witnessing tools have nothing to do with non-believers.
And it's foolishness to them.
Because they're not going to agree with anything like, oh yeah, Batman Begins, it's got the fear of the Lord in it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Idiot.
And that has actually happened. We've received comments on, I think, our Instagram account on a Harry Potter movie, posted a, you know, a promo for that, and some young lady responded, "This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard." Everybody knows that the actor of Harry Potter is an avowed atheist.
Who, D-Rad?
That, yeah, Daniel Radcliffe.
What?
That's what this young lady said.
And yet he's...
Finding Christ in Harry Potter, that's a... But can you see her non sequitur from a mile away?
Yes.
Okay, and this isn't anything personal. This is not a personal attack on her. This is what
It's an example.
It's an example of the foolishness of preaching of the cross is. Okay, to those who are not saved. It's foolishness. So she thought that because we're saying we can find Christian themes, you can't find, what she's saying is you cannot find Christian themes in there because Daniel Radcliffe is an atheist. It's a non sequitur. It does not follow, right?
Well, it follows for us because we're looking through a certain lens.
Yes.
It follows.
Lenses is a key word right there.
Yes, and I think I've been looking up another key word, esoteric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Intended or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest.
That... We're very esoteric here, aren't we?
Maybe that's one of the dangers, because it's very exclusive.
It is. And because I have been operating under the assumption, or the belief, I should say, that we are going out and seeking and saving the lost, I haven't seen that as of yet. So we would need to either... Well, we can't revamp the shows that we have. These are the shows that they are. We're producing the shows that we want to hear, right? I mean, in other words, we're not chasing after numbers.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
We are producing what we find valuable and hoping that the numbers come. Well, you can't change that because then it's not our show anymore. Then it becomes something ugly, really. It becomes a character of itself, and it becomes it loses its substance. We would have to develop new shows that are covertly... I mean, really, the simple fact of the matter is that according to 1 Corinthians, the things that we're talking about are foolishness to unbelievers. And I can accept that. I can accept that, and I can easily say, okay, we're going to focus our time, talent, and treasure to reaching as many Christians as we can. The only problem is, Brendan, is that really, I've told you this before, I spend a lot of time here in the studio trying to discover what is bringing people to not just our content, but any Christian content. And there are plenty of tools out there to know what people are searching for on the internet.
And the biggest things that people are searching for are cats.
And recipes.
And recipes.
Well, or no, I mean, they're looking up Kardashians, you know, all this pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the real... discouraging thing that I never realized before that knocked me aback is that Christians don't search for anything different. They search for
cats and recipes
and the Kardashians
and
sports and all of these things. And so we need to double our efforts somehow. And we're going to get some people that are going to partner with us, hopefully, here and send in some suggestions and about better ways to reach out to Christians. Because now we're looking to to witness and minister to Christians. So I think but anyway, to get it back onto a positive note, I feel great now knowing that, hey, we are targeting, we're targeting people from about 18 years of age to about 30 years of age. And the people that do tune in to and watch all the content that we produce at the Great Commission Transmission Network are people that have a heart to know God better. And that is encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
That's very encouraging. Anything else that you wanted to add?
This has been a really soul searching and reflective episode, really.
Yeah,
and it's kind of awesome to go through it.
this is really what this is the church taking place right here in this very room. And whoever is listening to this podcast, because we're not streaming live today, you're joining us even after the fact. But we are all together, you know, lifting one another up, edifying each other, and provoking. I love that word. Let's add that to the
stirring.
List. Yes, yeah, stirring, yeah. Provoking. So we got equipping. We have armoring. I don't even know if that's a word, but I love it. What was the third one that you said?
Oh, preparing.
Preparing.
Yeah.
And then provoking. And what was the fifth one?
Stirring.
Stirring up.
Stirring. We're also encouraging.
Encouraging.
And we've talked about encouraging.
Yeah.
I know for at least the Aragon episode, whatever episode that was, I think 16.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm done. Okay.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Should we move on?
Let us move on.
And we'll add those six terms to a list that we'll do something with later on?
Well, we'll need to add a seventh just for good measure.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll think of that before. But first of all, speaking of encouragement, we did get a comment on the website on our episode for How to Train Your Dragon. Okay, which is Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 18. And our greatest encourager, who really is, I mean, he is doing the work of the Holy Spirit to Brendan and I. This man ministers to Brendan and I on a constant basis, encourages, lifts up, equips, provokes.
Now, I don't know if you've been keeping up with Theo Nods, but he's also been encouraging.
Oh
them.
Yes,
well, and it's fun to listen to
because that's his spiritual gift, one
yes.
of them.
Yes.
We know that this person has several. This is one of one that we get to experience quite often, and of course, that is the patron saint, Ron of the Red Oaks. Okay, he says this has been on my mind for some time, but I hadn't gotten around to it until now. There was a lot to comment on in the movie. Again, we're talking about our episode on How to Train Your Dragon, which was exactly 10 episodes ago. He says, but I limited myself to one area. When I see How to Train Your Dragon, I see the struggles between the Vikings and the dragons as those between believers and unbelievers. We were just talking about that and how that ties into the... See, God is working and God is moving. I believe it with every fiber of my being.
And all things come together.
For good yes. to those. Or for good... To those that love the Lord. There you go. In recent months, I have been sharing little bits of the gospel with one of my coworkers who just so happens to be an atheist. Gosh, he's out there doing exactly what we're talking about.
The front lines.
He's on the front lines. Wow. We discuss all sorts of things, and he is a close friend. One day, I hope to hear of his faith in Christ as his Savior. I said that to make this point. I see a parallel between the Vikings and ourselves as believers, sometimes. Too often we see unbelievers as our enemy without realizing that we were once the same. After all, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we had to be evangelized by someone else. As Hiccup brings down Toothless, right? Isn't he cutting them down, saying, oh, you worthless reptile, and things like that, right? He's making a good point here. If I'm understanding patron saint Ron of the Red Oaks properly. As Hiccup brings down Toothless, I think about arguments and insensitive statements that serve only to injure and alienate those outside of the faith. In parentheses, this is, or parenthetically, right? This is when Christians are doing the devil's work. Underline that. Only when we take the time to get close to the, quote, dragons, unquote, do we see their real worth in God's eyes. This is a person that Christ loves and died for. Ultimately, the dragons do come to reside in God's plan. This is beautifully written, beautifully thought out. You know, he says, a favorite saying of mine is, people won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. God bless Ron of the Red Oaks.
Oh, man.
A brilliant comment. Thank you for being part of that episode, Ron.
Yeah, for real.
As the third host.
Yeah. We got to get him in sometime.
Oh, yeah. We got to get him on via Skype.
It is possible. We have the technology. We have it.
Hey, you're $6 million man right here.
That's what I was looking at.
Way before your time. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, now, how did I know? Was it on Seinfeld? I don't think so.
He did not get a start on Seinfeld. But anyway, Ron just touched upon everything that we just touched upon prior to reading his comment. And so that is, Brent, we didn't discuss his comment. So I can't help but see that as the Spirit speaking to us. You know,
confirmation.
Yeah, confirmation. Yeah. Stay slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll give you all out there a chance to communicate with us as well later on in the show. Do you have any other feedback?
Yeah. Actually, I had a friend who just recently started listening to the show.
Welcome.
Yes. Corey Flippo.
Flippo?
Flippo.
Welcome, Corey.
Yes, he actually is part of the small group Bible study.
Oh, awesome!
That I mentioned a few episodes ago.
Uh-huh.
And he's always been interested. He just never had the time to dedicate to listening to any of the shows, but now he has started, and he doesn't think it's the right thing to say, but I think he's binge listening.
He's doing pulling a Netflix. That's what podcasting is.
Because he's catching up fast. I think he started sometime last week, because we actually had lunch Saturday, and that's when he first told me about it. And he was on Toy Story then.
Okay.
But now he's up, I think he's up to The Matrix, he's up to...
he is binge listening. Yeah,
he's getting there.
Wow.
He is knocking them out one by one, and probably three by three or whatever. Yeah. but yeah, just want to give a shout out to Corey. He actually brought up a good couple points on a couple movies, and I'd rather him comment,
because I
know me, I can't remember his exact words, and I'd want him to you know, leave a comment or even use the voice line.
Yeah.
And we'll get your points on those episodes, buddy.
Absolutely. We're going to give you all the various ways to contact us in just a moment. But goodness, Corey, at the very least, go to that episode on the website and leave a comment on there. It, you know, even though it may be months old, it's still, when you post a comment, it pops right up into our face. Hey, somebody commented on this. And,
exactly.
And we'll address any questions and comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks, all that other good stuff that you may have. Anything else from listeners? No? Okay, are you ready for 2-1 the lightning round?
Gotham is a new Fox series.
Hey, it's also a city.
It is a city, and actually the Fox series follows what happens in this city.
Okay. I've been hearing about this. Tell us all about it.
Now, more specifically, it follows an up-and-coming Jim Gordon.
Ah!
Who has just joined the Gotham City Police Department, the GCPD.
So he is not the commissioner.
No, not yet, no. And, of course, his first case in the pilot episode is solving the double homicide of Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Wow.
In fact, one of the more powerful scenes of the episode is, of course, Jim consoling young Bruce. Bruce is at the scene. This is at the scene, even before they go to the to the police department.
I'm racking my brain, and I think that this is canon. I think this is part of the story arc in DC Comics that Jim Gordon was there. I can't remember.
I'm not sure. Don't ask me. I couldn't.
One of the blessings of moving is that I discovered all my boxes and boxes of comic books. And so when we get into the new studio, we're going to probably launch a lot more comic book talk. But anyway, I'm sorry. Carry on with your lightning round.
Yeah, it's supposed to be quick and snappy, but...
I got it in the way.
Now, while the pilot did tease some villains, like Edward Nygma,
mm-hmm.
who we know as the Riddler, and a possible Joker... nothing much there, except he was a stand-up comedian for the main mob boss.
Okay.
But, you know, that's hearsay. However, other villains, namely the Penguin, are already proving to play a huge part, at least in the series for now.
Okay.
Because the Penguin actually starts off as an assistant to this mob boss, but he leaks to some of the activities. Now, not saying that the GCPD isn't already corrupt, because let's face it, it is. However, he leaks to the wrong person and is therefore expelled. Now, Gotham airs on Fox Monday nights, but the series also streams for free at fox.com. And in the show notes, I've got the link to the first episode.
Oh, goodness.
Check it out.
I'm watching The Blacklist right now.
I know. Well, see, The Blacklist shows on Monday nights as well.
No, I'm watching after the fact.
You're on,
I don't have TV.
You're streaming anyway. Yeah. What are you talking about? You have no excuse. You can catch up.
Yes. Oh, goodness. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of good things. So this is taking place, what, a decade before the rise of the Batman?
Yeah, you could say that.
Huh. I'm going to have to watch at least the
it may be a decade before Bruce Wayne leaves Gotham to go seek the counsel of Ra's al Ghul in the mountains, as we discussed in Batman Begins.
Yes.
Episode 27.
There you go. All right,
episode what?
27.
Yeah, 27. Okay. Yep.
My lightning round pick this week is Google Docs. Brendan and I, as we prepare for Finding Christ in Cinema, we share a spreadsheet in Google Docs. And that's what you're seeing. If you go to any of our episodes and down at the bottom of the blog post, it'll say, you know, read the entire show notes and whatnot by clicking here. That will take you to our Google Doc that has all the different links to the stories that we're discussing. You know, and you're going to see Brendan's link to the Gotham TV show, all that good stuff. It is just a great way to produce this show throughout the week. And updates in real time. We could be working on a doc at the same exact time, and you can see the changes that each other are making. You can open up a chat window and talk about certain things as you're working in the doc. Almost everybody, at least in the United States, has a Google account, a Gmail account. And with your Google account, you have free access to Google Drive, which includes Google Docs and spreadsheets and all that stuff. So actually, I should be saying Google Drive, and we're using the spreadsheet function. So anyway, it's free. A lot of storage in there. You get 15 gigabytes of storage for free with your Google account. You can bump that up to like 100 gigabytes for $2 a month. cheap storage. So anyway, there's your tip. And you too can produce your own version of Finding Christ in Cinema. anything else? Lightning round? No, we don't have any other. Do we have any breaking news? Anything that you want to...
No, I'm scrolling through the Google News, and it's Lindsay Lohan, Justin Bieber.
Anyway, yeah. On last episode...
Oh, hey, Bob Seger. Oh, wait.
No. Okay. Last episode's breaking news, we talked about this first look at this CGI Popeye cartoon.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That link is in those show notes in that Google Drive doc, you know, so you can go there and find the link yourself. I watched it. Oh, boy, is it going to be awesome. There really isn't a whole lot to talk about. That's why I didn't bring it up in the news this week. But to go and watch it's like a 3 or 4 minute long video with the producer and shows footage. It's going to be fun. It looks like it's going to be a really fun movie. So go back to that doc from last episode and take a look at that. Hey, Brendan, we don't really have listener participation because we didn't do a movie this week. If you have any feedback on any of the things that we discussed, God is good, you know, all the time. You know, our revelation that we are actually ministering to missionaries here digitally. Any thoughts regarding that? Just let us know, and we'll give you those all the ways to contact us here in just a moment. But Brendan, we still have on the docket for the next time we discuss a movie. What?
Castaway.
And you obviously have watched it.
Yes.
And did you find some Christian themes in there?
Man, I will tell you one thing, and I'll probably repeat this.
Just do a tease.
It's really hard trying to find a point because a lot of our points rely on dialogue.
Yeah.
And in Castaway, there's a problem.
Fire! I have made fire! Hey, good. I forgot all about that.
It's going to be kind of hard because a lot of the dialogue happens either at the
beginning?
The beginning or the end.
Huh.
Either before the story has started,
yes,
or after the story has resolved. In the middle, it's nothing.
Wow.
Except for Wilson.
Yes. He doesn't say much.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
Uh-huh.
You gotta love crab. Coconut milk is a natural laxative. I'm just bulleting through the memorable quotes.
Oh goodness.
That Tom Hanks utters.
Oh goodness. So are you gonna be able to do it?
Yeah. No, I was able to pull something out.
Okay, good.
And I think it'll be cool when we get there.
Because that one is still all on you, baby, when we get back to Finding Christ in Cinema, and hopefully within a couple of weeks. Just keep us in your prayers. And like I said, we know when you're praying out there, and we sure do appreciate it. But whatever happens, when it happens, it will be here on Finding Christ in Cinema, part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. All things Finding Christ in Cinema, back episodes, Brendan's Monday movie reviews. Someday, hopefully, when things settle down, I'll get back to a family movie night. We haven't had one in months.
I know.
All that is at the official website, christincinema.com. You can send all email to fcc@gctnetwork.com. There is no P.O. box until further notice.
Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. That's 507-407-4286. And for those who just want to listen to the podcast, as if you didn't like falafel.
Oh, I'm not prepared for
no.
that.
I don't like falafel?
Like falafel?
Yeah. You can search iTunes, you can search Stitcher, and you can search TuneIn Radio. Just search them all. For Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows and videos and everything that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including the Theonauts, get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan, anything else?
Man, I'm getting all emotional.
And that is a wrap!
I'm a miracle man.
There's no such thing. Magic.
We know that, Uncle Dursley. You should have listened to Joaquin Phoenix, see?
I'm a miracle.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
You can't keep a good man down.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
At gctnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.